Thank you for the kind words. Yeah, it's an interesting time. It seems like our family has had to endure cancer episodes from time to time. My sister is going through it right now, and she's in stage four. It doesn't look very good, but she confesses, and she says it's in God's hands. And so that's what we were many years ago. It was 16 years ago. Thanks, Rock. I think he's sending me a message. It was 16 years ago. It was in 2004 that I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And at that time, I remember coming home, and Mom and I, Marilyn and I, we went for a ride. Sometimes you talk best to the car. And so we talked, and we started to weep, and we pulled off the road. And we committed it all to the Lord. And you know, I'll tell you without a lie, it was the peace of God that swept over us in that moment. And we never worried again. Now, it wasn't, the treatments and all that weren't all that much fun, but the peace of God kept our hearts and minds, and that was wonderful. How many like donuts? Yeah. They're great if you can ignore the calories. You know, it would be rather sad if you focused on the hole in the middle. Putting your attention on what isn't there instead of the incredibly sweet and awesome donut. How many have enjoyed this pandemic that we've gone through or are going through? Like the donut hole, we can grumble and we can whine and complain about what we don't have or what we think we've lost, rather than being grateful and thankful for what we do have. Do you remember Israel in the Old Testament? God supernaturally delivered them from 400 years of Egyptian slavery. After all that God had done, they grumbled because they didn't have enough water. They grumbled because they didn't like the food provided for them. They didn't like where God was had them living. They grumbled because they thought Moses was a pretty lame leader. They grumbled because they missed Egypt. They grumbled because it was taking too long to get to where they thought God had promised them. They grumbled. After all that God had done to protect them, to deliver them, and was sustaining them. So I want to talk to you this morning about developing an attitude of gratitude. So I want to read two passages of Scripture. The first is found in Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Tell Him and thank Him. Then the peace of God will keep your heart. I'm also looking at Psalm 116, verse 16. It says, "Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant, born into your household. You have freed me from my chains. I offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people." What attracts my attention in that passage of Scripture is that word sacrifice. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice is the surrender of something prized for the sake of something considered as having a higher or better quality. Being thankful sometimes isn't because you feel thankful. It's because you choose to be thankful. Two men were walking through a field one day, and they spotted a very large bull running toward them. And so they started to run. But it soon became apparent that they weren't going to be able to outrun the bull. And so the one man, terrified, shouted to the other, "Pray! We're not going to make it." "I don't know how," the other man responded. "Pray something. Well, the only prayer I ever knew or ever heard is one my dad used to pray. Father, for what we are about to receive, make us truly grateful." If there's one sin that is prevalent in our society, it is the sin of ingratitude. God does so much for us. Our indebtedness to Him is huge, but we tend to be ungrateful. In Christian societies and families, we often bow our heads, say grace over a meal. What's that all about? Are we truly grateful, or are we just being religious? I remember, and I don't remember exactly who it was, but somebody, we sat at the table and he bowed his head and he said, "Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly grateful." I'd never heard anybody pray over their meal just like that, but it got my attention. Make us truly grateful. It's just too easy to be like the little boy who was given an orange by a man. And the boy's mother looked at the little boy and said, "Well, what do you say to the nice man?" The little boy thought for a moment. He handed the orange back and said, "Peel it." In Luke chapter 17, we have the story of 10 lepers who were healed of leprosy by the touch of Jesus. Leprosy had put them into a very awful state. Not only was the disease terminal, but it separated them from family and society. The suffering was great. It was awful to have leprosy. Jesus heals them, all 10, and sends them away to have the healing confirmed. Of the 10, only one of them stopped to say thank you. I read that story and I wonder, why? Why would only one? I mean, they were delivered from an awful disease. They were segregated away from family and from society, and suffering was over, and they can't stop to say thank you? I read about a couple living on welfare and food stamps. Food stamps is a U.S. program. That's where the story came from. They did this for almost 10 years. They had used a lot of public money until a welfare fraud investigator discovered that they had over $500,000 in their bank accounts. They went to jail. They were required to pay all the money back. But you have to ask yourself the question, why would they do such a thing? When they had money in their own accounts, why were they living on public money? Because ingratitude creates discontentment, where enough is never enough. In Philippians chapter 4, it says that the apostle instructs us to be content with whatever we have. Really? 1 Timothy chapter 6 instructs us that true godliness and contentment is of great wealth. The point we need to get here is that the epidemic of affluenza, which is in our culture a virus of affluence and prosperity, there are countless examples that point to the fact that wealth and material things never satisfy. They only tend to create a desire for more. Look at the stars of television and the movies. Many are addicted to drugs and alcohol when they have everything that we could dream of. Now, things in themselves are not wrong. In fact, our wealth can be a great blessing. But the question is this: do you hold your wealth with an attitude of gratitude or with an attitude of entitlement? I deserve this. After all, I'm a college graduate. I deserve this. I've been kind to my friends. They haven't. They should be loyal to me. I deserve this. I'm a senior citizen. I deserve to be respected by the younger generation. Today's culture fosters the notion of, we used to hear from McDonald's, you deserve a break today. Many advertisements carried on the TV carry that thought, that you owe it to yourself. The attitude of entitlement puts my rights ahead of everything else. Now, it's Thanksgiving weekend, and this is a significant day in our calendar. It seems to me that it's one of the few holidays on our calendar that has not been commercialized to the nth degree. However, I'm not sure that we always get it right. It seems that Thanksgiving surrounds all the things we have heaped upon ourselves, and we try to say thank you for that. I think we're missing the point. Did you know that 20% of the world's accounts for 86% of all private consumption? 20% of the world consumes 86% of the world's stuff. While the world's poorest 20% accounts for 1.3 of all consumption. One half of the world, that is 3 billion people, live in what the UN calls food deficit countries. One half of the world doesn't have safe water. One half of the world lives on $2 a day American. 1.2 billion live on $1 a day American. In the West, one out of 3,500 pregnancies ends in the death of the mother. In India, that's one in 37. In Africa, it's one in 16. In world terms, the gulf between the rich and the poor has never been greater. Now think about this. This is found in the scriptures in Luke chapter 18, where we find the Pharisee in the temple expressing his gratitude. And he says, I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. So in similar fashion, at Thanksgiving time, could we not pray congratulating ourselves, saying, Lord, I'm thankful I'm not as others, poor, despised, and forgotten. I'm concerned that our Thanksgiving can easily become self-congratulating, almost narcissistic, loving and admiring ourselves. True gratitude is not centered on self. You know you're into the entitlement attitude when the results leave you angry, when you don't get what you think you deserve. Whatever it may be, you have it coming, and it isn't happening, so you feel angry, ripped off, or cheated out of what you deserve. But entitlement is a perversion of reality. When you think you're entitled, we sing Amazing Grace. What is so amazing about grace? Life is a matter of grace. Every good thing in life is a gift from God. Over supper last night we sang, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Really? Do we believe that? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. All that we have are blessings from God, not because we deserve, but because of His grace and His mercy. Undeserved. Life is a matter of grace. Every good thing in life is a gift from God, undeserved. And an attitude of gratitude, not entitlement, is the recognition that life is a gift from God. You know that the hardest arithmetic to master is being able to count your blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I dare you, count your blessings. The conscious act of being grateful for the things we receive in life waters, multiplies, and causes our blessings to grow. An attitude of gratitude is being grateful in every circumstance that comes our way. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks." But I want you to notice that it doesn't say "for everything." I'm not grateful that I had cancer. I'm not grateful that my wife is struggling with cancer. It doesn't say to be thankful for these awful things which are a part of the sin culture. But in it all, to be grateful and thankful. An attitude of a gratitude appreciates the gift of life that you've been given. The very quality of life. Oh my, compared to the world, we are rich. And it's not because you deserve it. It's because of the grace of God. I think somebody around the table last night said they were grateful to be Canadian. I think it was you, Evangeline, wasn't it? To be Canadian. What a blessing that we can live here compared to most of the world. And did you deserve that? No, but it happened to you. A blessing from God. There's an old saying that goes like this. It said, "There but for the grace of God go I." That's a good attitude to have. Rather than standing in criticism of other things and saying, "I don't know what they were, but for the grace of God, I'd be there." And this is just beside the point here. It just comes to mind. My mother's brothers were alcoholic. And my mother often, she said, "Don't even start. You may have that weakness." Boy, am I grateful for a mother who warned me. Grateful for a mother. But you know what? This is another thing. This is entirely free. This is a part of the message, and whatever. My parents prayed for my mom's family oftentimes. I remember that as a kid. Mom and Dad have been gone now for a number of years. But you know, most of Mom's family are all believers today. They never saw it happen. That old religious church that they'd been a part of, you know, in Mom's background, man, that they preach the gospel. My cousins and my uncles, they've come to the Lord there. One of my uncles he just said, "Oh, you and your religion, I'm going to outlive all the rest of you." Well, he didn't. I just hope that maybe he made his decision before he passed into eternity. An attitude of gratitude appreciates the gift of life that you've been given, the quality of life. The saying goes, as I said there, but for the grace of God. There's also another saying that goes like this: I complained that I had no shoes until I saw the man without feet. Good thought. God, give us grateful hearts, an attitude of gratitude above everything for God, for the gospel, for the church, for salvation. For all of that is truly unmerited favor for all of us. What is grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense, not at our own. We didn't pay for it. God's riches at Christ's expense. I like Southern gospel songs, and there's one. I won't sing it for you. I'll give you some of the words. It says, I've heard them sing, he paid the price and Jesus bore it all. I've heard them sing, I'm coming home and hear the master's call. I've heard them sing the modern songs and songs of long ago. But amazing grace, how sweet the sound, is the sweetest song I know. I like that because it reminds me that I don't deserve, but I've been gifted by God. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Father, we thank you for the reminder for us to be grateful. Throughout the hours of this day, help us to enumerate the things for which we are grateful, and to place aside the things that are distracting, where we are tempted to think that we deserve. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for loving us so unconditionally. And I thank you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.